Our first scripture reading this morning is taken from the first letter of Peter, chapter 2, verses 4 to 6. As you come to him, the living stone, rejected by humans, but chosen by God and precious to him, you also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. For in Scripture it says, "See, I lay a stone in Zion, a chosen and precious cornerstone, and the one who trusts in him will never be put to shame." Our second reading is taken from the first letter to the Corinthians, chapter 12, verses 4 to 14. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but all of them, and in everyone, it is the same God at work. Now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To one, there is given through the Spirit a message of wisdom. To another, a message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by that one Spirit. To another, miraculous powers. To another, prophecy. To another, distinguishing between spirits. And to another, speaking in different kinds of tongues. And to yet another, the interpretation of tongues. All these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and he distributes them to each one just as he determines. Just as a body, though one, has many parts, but all its many parts form one body, so it is with Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit, so as to form one body, whether Jews or Gentiles, slave or free. And we were all given the one Spirit to drink. Even so, the body is not made up of one part, but of many. This is the word of the Lord.
Lord God, we thank you that your word heals, nourishes, instructs, refreshes. It encourages and it teaches. Help us to be hearers of your word and doers. In your name we pray. Amen. Amen. As you know, we are in a series entitled Church Is, and the word church actually means called out. You've heard my favorite passage on the church, Acts chapter 2, 42 to 48. And it's in this text that we are reminded of the five purposes of the church: worship, fellowship, discipleship, evangelism, and ministry. These are the five purposes of the church. And today we're going to talk about church is ministry. I mentioned before that I became a believer through the evangelist Billy Graham. And although I read my Bible every day, it was 1 year later that I started attending a church. And it was a guy on my high school ski team. And no, it's not my present husband. It's always about this guy, right? There's this guy. This guy happened to invite me to a movie, which, interestingly enough, turned out to be a movie about missionaries in India at his church youth group. And so I went, and eventually I started attending the evening service. But from the very beginning, I felt like an outsider. I didn't look like them. I didn't speak like them. I didn't dress like them. I didn't act like them. I didn't sound like them. You see, all their parents attended this church, and I was the only one whose parents didn't attend this church. And they gave the distinct impression that you needed to kind of fit into their box. You needed to play by their rules. Last week, Monty reminded us that everyone belongs and everyone has a place in church. And it's true. You are the body of Christ, and each one of you has a part to play. Now, because my friend did his part simply through an invitation to attend a church event, more seeds were planted. I started to grow in my relationship with God. I was connected more to him and to his people. It was a form of ministry. His invitation was a form of ministry. And I'm thankful for his ministry and all the people who've ministered to me and have played their part in me growing in my relationship with God. And I'm sure you can say the same thing. There's several passages that I want to talk about with regard to church is ministry. The first passage that Gavin read is from 1 Peter chapter 2, 4 to 5, and it talks about stones. Now, in the Bible, there's lots of references about stones. We know that David took 5 smooth stones and he used 1 stone to slay Goliath. We know that Jesus told the Pharisees that those without sin cast the first stone. We also know that Jesus declared that if we keep silent, even the stones will start to praise God. Now, there's 2 types of stones listed in 1 Peter. The first stone is that Jesus is the chief cornerstone. He's the chief cornerstone of the church. Now, in the building and architect world, the cornerstone provides visible support to the building. Every step of construction is dependent upon the cornerstone. The cornerstone it gives a building strength. The cornerstone helps the building to be aligned. It gives sustainability. It gives structural integrity. The cornerstone is the focal point of the building. And in this text, we are reminded that Christ is the cornerstone of God's temple. Believers, therefore, are to rest on the cornerstone of Jesus. And according to this text, we will never be put to shame. Jesus stated in Matthew that the church is being built upon the rock. The church is being built upon a stone, and the gates of hell would not stand against it. Peter also describes what he calls as living stones. He refers to us as living stones. Now, do you notice that he doesn't call us bricks? He doesn't say, you're a brick. He calls us living stones. God is building a spiritual house, not with bricks and mortar, but God is building his spiritual house with living stones. He's building his house with people who are believers, followers of Christ. He's building his house with you, and he's building his house with the person sitting next to you and both sides next to you. And there's no 2 stones alike. When you think about it, if you go walking on the beach or walking around, no 2 stones are alike. They're all unique. They're all original. And this is really in stark contrast to bricks. Typically, bricks are all the same size. They're all the same shape. They're all the same color. We are living stones. God is clearly likes diversity and variety. According to this text, you are a living stone, you are precious, you are chosen. Now, our Christian life is a work in progress, and you may be looking at your life and going, wow, Lord help the church if it's dependent on me, the living stone. If you really knew my life last week, some of the choices that I made, I'm not so sure I want the church to be built on me, this living stone. But hear this. God chisels away those parts in our life that hinder us from fitting into that eternal temple. Jesus Christ is changing us from being a useless stone to being a useful stone. Now, before Michelangelo created the masterpiece that we know as David, there were others involved. How many of us have seen the masterpiece of David? Yeah. So Agostino Antonio had worked diligently but unsuccessfully on a large piece of marble. And he gave up his efforts and he exclaimed, "I can't do anything with this piece of stone." Others tried to work with this piece of stone but failed. And literally this piece of stone, this piece of marble was thrown into a heap for 40 years. One day Michelangelo actually saw the stone and he believed that it had great possibilities. From a seemingly worthless stone, he sculptured, he worked at it, chipping away all the parts that were meant to be a part of the statue. When Jesus looks at us, he doesn't see a rough piece of rock, but he sees the potential to be a beautifully dressed stone, useful for his temple. God is the master sculptor, and he's able to chip away all that's not what's meant to be. His work of transformation is accomplished by the one referred to as the living stone. F.B. Meyer states that stones touch the stone and become jewels. You are living stones, chosen by God, precious to him. And you, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Now, note the word priest was listed in there, and it should be noted that the Latin word for priest is pontifex, which actually means bridge builder. Now, when you hear the word priest, you often think of the people in the robes, right? You might think of paid staff. You also are the priest. You also are the bridge builder. The priest is the person who builds the bridge for others to come to God. As living stones, effectively, we are God's building blocks. We are building his temple. And in this capacity, we share the load with, and there's many ways in which we can share the load. And Gavin read our second passage, which is 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And that's the passage that talks about spiritual gifts. That's the passage that Paul refers to the church as a body, which each part of the body playing a role, each part of the body having a really important part. Now, spiritual gifts are given by God. They're given by God so we can glorify God, so we can build up the church, so we can edify the church. Spiritual gifts are not given so we can say, "Hey, look at me, aren't I fantastic?" They are really for the common good. They're to build up the body of Christ. Spiritual gifts are different than talents. Spiritual gifts are given for spiritual purposes. Spiritual gifts are given just as God determines. We don't choose our spiritual gifts. It's a gift. No, I don't want that gift. I don't like that gift. Can I just change that? It doesn't really work like that. We are given spiritual gifts from God just as he determines. And that's what the text said. Now, it's interesting in the Bible, we read a passage from 1 Corinthians 12 on spiritual gifts. There's other passages that talk about spiritual gifts. One is in Romans chapter 12, 1 Peter, as well as Ephesians. So they're not all contained in one particular place. But today there were several different spiritual gifts that were listed. We heard wisdom, knowledge, faith, healing, miracles, prophecy, discernment, tongues, and interpretation. In those other texts, in Romans and Ephesians, there are other gifts listed. Now, here's what some of them are. Administration, apostleship, encouragement, evangelism, giving, helps, hospitality, intercession, knowledge, leadership, mercy, shepherding, and teaching. That's a lot of gifts, right? That's about 23 right there. A lot of gifts, and God has given each one at least one to his body. There's different inventories. Hands up if you've done an inventory of spiritual gifts. Great. There's some really good resources on that. Network is a really good one. Anto, I know, did one with that with the young adults. Some of our small groups use that. But there's many different gifts, and all work together for the building up of the body of Christ. What I find interesting is that 1 Corinthians 12 is naturally followed by 1 Corinthians 13, which we know as the love passage, right? We hear that at weddings and we think, oh, that's so nice of husband and wife to be patient and to be kind. And actually, that just applies to all of us. To be, love is patient, love is kind, love is long-suffering. It's not for only couples. It's for how we use our gifts, how the church relates to each other. Are we people who are patient? Are we kind? Are we loving? That's how we're to use our gifts. It's important for us to know our gifts. It's important for us to operate in our gifts. It's important for us to use our gifts to bless other people. We can also have what we would call a ministry of presence. And today we are, it's a really special day for me today because we're commissioning Stephen's ministers. We're commissioning 20 Stephen's ministers into an active ministry of service. And really, in many respects, Stephen's ministry is like a ministry of presence. Ministry of presence. Jesus, on the night that he was to face his greatest test, he went out to pray. And the Gospel of Mark says this, overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death. This is Jesus, overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death. He asked Peter, James, and John to go with him. This one request, stay and keep watch. Now we know they botched it. They were a disaster. They didn't do it. But you can see that our Lord wanted a ministry of presence. Knowing that someone is there for you, knowing that someone cares for you, knowing that someone is walking with you even though you walk through the valley of the shadow of death. You've got our Lord, but you have someone else with you, is such an important ministry. The ministry of presence means we listen. Now, we listen with our ears, but we also listen with our heart, our third ear. We empathize. What does it feel like to walk in their shoes? What does their experience feel like? The ministry of presence is really a ministry of showing up. It's a ministry of being, listening with our whole body. Not so much a ministry of doing, but a ministry of being. Joseph Bailey authored a book entitled The Last Thing We Talked About, and in it he talks about the loss that he and his wife experienced in the loss of three of their children. They lost a son when he was only 18 days old in surgery. They lost a second son at the age of 5 through leukemia, and they lost a third son at the age of 18 in a sledding accident. And this is what he writes about the ministry of presence. I was sitting, torn by grief, and someone came and talked to me of God's dealings and why it had happened, of hope beyond the grave. He talked constantly, and he said things that I already knew. I was unmoved, except I wished he would go away. Finally, he did. Another came and sat beside me for an hour or more. They listened when I said something. They answered briefly. They prayed simply, and they left. I was moved. I was comforted, and I hated to see them go. We don't need to be brilliant, articulate biblical scholars. It's true that the greatest ability a friend has is availability. Show up. In showing up, And in being present, you are exercising the ministry of presence. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Ecclesiastes 4, 9 to 12 sums it up well. Two are better than one, because they have a good reward for their work. If one falls down and his friend can help him up. But pity the one who falls and has no one to help him up. Again, if two lie down together, they will keep warm. But how can one be warm alone? Though one may be overpowered by another, two can withstand him. A cord of three strands is not easily broken. The greatest thing anyone can do in times of trouble is to be there. When someone is there in need, maybe in a hospital, maybe you just lost your job, maybe you're going through a messy divorce, maybe your kids are driving you crazy and you don't know how to cope. Ministry of presence can help. It's a healing ministry. We all have a ministry. God has given all of us a ministry. And today I would like for us to commission, to acknowledge, to recognize, to give thanks, and to set apart our Stevens ministers. And so if they want to join us, make their way, I guess it's just me up here, join me. Thank you. Thank you. We are the first church in Hong Kong that's doing Stevens ministry. Stevens ministry, I think there's 13,000 churches around the world. That it's a pastoral care lay training so they can give pastoral care to members of congregations. And so we do hope that if there are needs and you hear of needs, you can let me know, because I would love to help you find a Stevens minister who can minister to you and support and encourage you. We are living stones. We need to know our gifts. We've all been given spiritual gifts for spiritual purposes. And we need to work together to use these gifts to build up the kingdom, to use these gifts to glorify our Lord Jesus Christ. You might be sitting here today thinking, well, I didn't really get much out of today. In fact, I didn't really get much out of church today, this whole week. We need to keep in mind Mark chapter 10, verse 45. For even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life for a ransom for many. It's not what I get out of church. Rather, what am I giving? How am I serving? Our calling is for a life of service. Christians don't retire. And service is really a part of worship. We don't just come here on Sunday morning to sing great songs. It's ministry. Service is worship. Service is worship. You are not just another brick in the wall. You are a gem, a jewel, a precious living stone in God's temple, a gem that God can use to equip, and he can use for his glory. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Amen. Amen.